It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In Religion versus the Workplace, religion gained some ground. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. To what lengths must employers go to accommodate the religious practices of their employees? The Supreme Court ruled unanimously yesterday that employers have to accommodate their employees' religious observances unless it imposes a substantial burden on their business operations. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The case involved postal worker Gerald Groff, an evangelical Christian who requested Sundays off to attend church. His employer refused, explains UNLV law professor Ruben Garcia.
Postal Service said it would be an undue hardship.
Co-workers had to cover for Groff. Some complained or quit. The Postal Service claimed the disruption justified denying Groff's request, but the court has now set a higher standard, says Garcia.
That to claim undue hardship, it has to be a substantial expense.
The burden now shifts more to employers to explain why they can't accommodate religious employees, says Justin Sadowski, an attorney with the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Whether it's wearing hijabs at work or modest clothing more generally, taking time off for weekly congregational prayer, we think those are less likely to be denied.
Employers can still refuse religious accommodations, says employment attorney Dawn Soloway at Seyfarth Shaw. For example,
someone wants to take a prayer break on a manufacturing production line, but it might actually cause the whole line to have to be shut down.
She says refusing the prayer break could fly if the employer can prove it would result in idled assembly lines or lost business. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Europe's relationship with China is on the agenda today in Brussels as political leaders gather for a meeting of the European Union. Some member states argue that they have become too dependent on a non-democratic country with close ties to Russia. The BBC's Paul Moss reports from Brussels.
There's a new buzzword in Brussels these days, de-risking. It was the invasion of Ukraine which exposed the West's dependence on Russia for oil and gas. And some fear a similar mistake is still being made with China. That's where so many consumer goods come from. And China is where $250 billion worth of European Union exports go. Here at the EU Council summit, France and Germany are expected to argue for keeping strong trading ties. But other countries are furious at Beijing's support for Russia and want to be less ensnarled in its economic embrace.
The BBC's Paul Moss there. The Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, it's a measure of inflation, was up just 0.1% in May. It was up 4.6% compared to last year, and that is less than expected.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
King Charles III is now fairly safely ensconced on the British throne. Public support for the monarchy fluctuates around 60%, at least in Britain. The king's tenure is not so secure in the 14 Commonwealth territories where he still reigns. Six of them, including the two biggest, Australia and Canada, would definitely vote to ditch Charles if given the chance, according to a recent poll. Politics and national pride are the main factors in the growing disaffection with the monarchy. But money is also playing a part, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
On the day King Charles was crowned in London, there was a parallel ceremony some 3,000 miles away in Ottawa.
Today is a momentous day for Canada as we celebrate the coronation of His Majesty King Charles III.
Fire! Meanwhile, in Australia...
God save the king!
Australians sang the British national anthem, but despite these official displays, enthusiasm for the monarchy seems to be waning in Canada and in Australia, says Sandy Beyer of the Australian Republic Movement.
The idea of inheriting the position of Australia's head of state is really out of step with Australian values.
It's out of step too, he says, with Australia's economic interest to have a head of state who's not actually Australian.
You'd expect them to be standing up for Australia's interests in trade delegations, but instead, our head of state is out there advocating for the interests of one other country in particular who are sometimes in competition with us.
In other words, the UK. In Canada, Tom Frieder of the Citizens for a Canadian Republic feels the same about having a Brit at the pinnacle of his country's political system.
On what planet does sharing a head of state with another independent country make sense? It just doesn't.
For him, ending the monarchy is primarily a political matter, removing a humiliating relic of colonialism. But he says finance is an issue too.
When the Queen visited here, her most expensive visit was $1 million per day for a 10 or 11 day visit. That's an exorbitant amount of money.
But with a homegrown head of state?
We'll probably have fewer royal visits. It'll be cheaper. It definitely will be cheaper.
The monarchy cost Canada around $43 million a year, less than half what it cost the Brits. But Franco Terrazzano, an advocate for taxpayers, says that's still too much. Take last year's trip to the Middle East by the monarch's Canadian representative and her entourage. He claims it cost $60,000 just for in-flight catering.
They were enjoying beef Wellington with ragu. They had stuffed pork tenderloin. Now, I don't know about you. I've done quite a bit of flying. And when I'm on Air Canada or WestJet, I can't even get beef Wellington flavored chips, let alone beef Wellington with ragu.
But of course, presidents can live as high off the hog as monarchs. Meanwhile, supporters of the monarchy in Canada and Australia insist their system provides a stable, unifying, non-partisan head of state. And that, they say, is priceless. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Jordan Manji. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Brian Allison, and Nick Esposito. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.